And then we're not going to cover everything because there's a whole bunch of stuff in David's life. But 1 Samuel 18 is where we're going to be today. And let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. And when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing and with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. And as they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from the Lord came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre, and as he usually did, Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David. Isn't that an interesting thing after we just read this? You'd almost think it's going to say David was afraid of Saul, but no, it says Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men, and David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. There's a lot going on in these verses, isn't there? And it's just a small snippet of the life of David that you find in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. Before I get started in the message today, though, I just want to let you know that some of my thoughts and thinking have been inspired a great deal by a particular book. And if you're ever interested in a book about the life of David, it's by Eugene Peterson, and it's entitled Leap Over a Wall. Okay, kind of a strange title, but it actually comes from Scripture. But Leap Over a Wall by Eugene Peterson. It's a whole book on the life of David. And so it's one of my favorite books on David. And so some of the thoughts that I'll share even here today were inspired by that book, just so you know. Well, doesn't it always kind of come as a shock when you find out that someone doesn't like you? We think everybody should like us, right? You know, when you're born, it seems everybody loves you. You're a cute, cuddly little baby. And then people need to begin to change diapers. And you're not as cute and cuddly as you used to be. But then you get cute and cuddly again for a while. But it is interesting that along the way in life, there come situations where you're not always synced up with other people. That it doesn't always mesh well. In the story we have before us today, we see David and we see Saul. Now, we've already talked about the fact that David's been anointed to be the king, but he's not king yet. That has to be an interesting and awkward thing for him. Just knowing he'd been anointed by the prophet Samuel, and yet he's not in the role of king, and he's not about to try to take the role on himself. We also have seen David as the victorious warrior, haven't we? I mean, we talked about David and Goliath last week, and you know, here's God with David helping him defeat the giant. Today, though, we see David as both hated and loved. Up to this point, for the most part, except for the brothers of David, and we know how brothers and sisters and all that can be, don't we? But for the most part, the people in a general sense have loved David because he's been helpful. And in fact, he's been helpful to Saul. And even in the story that we just read, David's being helpful to Saul in a time in Saul's life when things are getting very, very dark. When things aren't going well at all for Saul. But as we begin to look at all this today, we notice how Saul just continually gets a little bit more and a little bit more hateful towards David. David's work for Saul has been valuable and important. I mean, probably without David, he would not have had such glorious moments in victory and war. With David, it's made Saul that much higher in stature. But as we heard the women singing as they come back from war, things are starting to change, even in the attitude of the people in terms of their view of Saul and David. And in this passage, we find one of those first murderous attempts of Saul to get rid of David. By this time, Saul has begun to move further and further away from God. And with this move away from God, it's changed him. And isn't that always the case? Anyone who begins to have some separation, maybe they had a close relationship with God. I mean, Saul was the anointed of God too. But he began to move away from being obedient and faithful to God. And every step away from God changed Saul in a negative way. And it always happens that way, doesn't it? Any of us, we allow separation there. Some distance between us and God. It's going to negatively affect us. And anytime it negatively affects us, it's usually going to also negatively affect others around us. True? It just works that way. But in this scene that we read about here today, there's that one moment when Saul kind of went over the edge. And in doing so, he made up his mind that he was ready to pin David against the wall with his spear. It's a good thing David was young and limber. Because my guess is that King Saul, who was an experienced warrior himself, was pretty good with the spear. It wasn't the first time he'd thrown it. He'd had lots of practice and a lot of success. But on this particular day, it says that Saul flung the spear at David to pin him to the wall. And twice David eluded him. He was still young. One of the things I've noticed as I get older is that I do not move as well or as quickly as I used to. True? Before I could move quickly or well, I'd probably fall down. But David was young. The sad thing is these hot outbursts on Saul's part were happening more and more. And they led not only to these outbursts, but then began to be more calculated. Saul began to plot ways to get rid of David. Whatever it took to get David out, he was for. One of them involved his own daughter Merab and a promise of marriage if David could prove himself with the Philistines. It's really a gruesome story. David does it, still doesn't get Merab. Saul's plan was either to get him himself or to put him in a position that he'll be gotten and done away with. Make him the head of the army to where he's out there in the middle of battle all the time, and there's a higher likelihood that David will be gone, maybe before long. I don't know if you realize it, but there are at least six occasions where Saul tries to kill David himself or to get him killed. But here's part of the deal. In the middle of all that kind of happening, David is actually doing everything right. David is doing his best on behalf of the king, leading armies, singing songs, trying to soothe his soul. He's helped the king in multiple ways, and in no sense has there ever been a sign that he was trying to get Saul's job. But you know, Saul's not seeing it that way, is he? Isn't it interesting how our minds can work sometimes when we begin to think something negative about a person or a relationship, and then we start thinking things that aren't even there as though they are? It happens, doesn't it? We let our minds begin to just go places that aren't real and aren't true. But here's David, here's Saul, and David finds himself being attacked from multiple directions because of Saul's hatred and jealousy of him. What's interesting in our scripture even here today is that interwoven with this is David's relationship with Jonathan. Jonathan is Saul's son. And the relationship that is described here is one where Jonathan and David have a kindred fellowship and friendship that's deep and unlike anything else that either of them had. They were best friends. They would do anything for each other, whatever it take. And it's interesting that Jonathan, who's probably in line to become king after his dad, is the one who seems to almost initiate the most this relationship with David. So much so that it describes him as making a covenant with David. A promise, a commitment to David that there'll always be that friendship. And that covenant goes on to the point where he says he gives him his robe, his tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt. All signs that I'm for you. We're in this together. We'll always be brothers. Reminds me sometimes of what some of you who have been in the military seem to have a camaraderie with one another because you were in battle together. Jonathan's friendship is what brackets David's tumultuous kind of a thing going on with Jonathan's dad, Saul. I jotted these thoughts down. It says, when it comes to spiritual formation, the forming of our souls, we can either let the negative, the hateful, the mean, form and shape us, or we can let the healthy, the holy, and the good form and shape us. One of the things we need to appreciate about David is that with all that was going on with Saul and all the things that could have made David become more like Saul, that David doesn't. He ends up becoming more like a Jonathan. Eugene Peterson puts it this way in that book I alluded to. He says, Jonathan's friendship entered David's soul in a way that Saul's hatred never did. Friendship with the right people, with godly people, with good people, is also good for the soul. Amen. It's good for the soul to have those kinds of friendships. David's friendship with Jonathan probably protected David from becoming a hateful person. In fact, one of the amazing scenes in the life of David takes place when Saul and his army are in hot pursuit of David and David's men that he had with him at the time. This is all found in 1 Samuel 24, and I'm not going to go into the detail. It's an interesting story, but David and his men are hidden deep within a cave, and Saul happens to come into that same cave, and the scripture puts it this way, but he comes in to relieve himself, okay? The Bible has a lot of interesting things to tell us, even some details you don't necessarily want to hear. But anyway, they happen to be in the same cave, and David's companion suggested to David that this is his chance. This is his chance to get the man who's been after him and after him and after him, and it's also the chance to become king. Makes all kinds of sense. Why keep running? End it now. But David thinks more deeply and recognizes that the respect he has for the anointing that God had given to Saul, he knows that Saul was anointed by God for the purpose he had, and he could not dishonor or disrespect him, even in that moment. What he does is he cuts off a small little corner of the king's robe, and afterward, when King Saul is a ways away to where, you know, they're not too close, but they can be heard, David yells out for him and shows him the corner of the king's robe just to let him know, excuse me, I could have killed you. I could have done it right then. I am not against you, Saul. I'm not against you in any way. Here's the proof. Our story here today tells us that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And that with him life is really what God wants for all of us, isn't it? There may be people who may not like us, people who may not get along with us, maybe even people who hate us. And maybe it's even because God is with us, there's a jealousy factor. You might find that in workplaces where some just don't find you somebody they want to hang out with. They'd rather you not be there, maybe. But God was with David. And here's the thing. The most important thing we ever have in our lives is the privilege and the blessing to have God with us. And God with us will keep us from becoming the kind of people who would maybe be hateful and mean and nasty. And oh, we need some help to be the kind of people God wants us to be, don't we? So we don't become people that we're not really wanting to be. The people loved David because David had been authentic and real And the sense of God with him was palpable to them. It was good from their perspective. But we know that jealousy can become a hideous thing, can it? Jealousy can make us into people that are nasty and spiteful. Can make us into the kind of people that we wouldn't even want to hang around. True? What's sad is that there are so many relationships, and maybe you're dealing with something like that in your own life, your own family, your own place of work, your neighborhood, who knows where jealousy and anger and bitterness are kind of the atmosphere there. Don't let that turn you away from God. Let that turn you toward God. Don't let that make you become the kind of person that you really don't want to be and God never intended you to be. One of the things that becomes clear when you read the scriptures and this whole story of David is that David will never try to take the kingship of Saul. Saul loses it by his own decisions, by the direction of his own life away from God. But David is the kind of person who would never try to take it from Saul. Saul had become not only an enemy of David, he had become an enemy of God. But here's some good news, and it's a quote again, and I think it'll be on the screen. Evil doesn't stand a chance against goodness. Persecution is futile in the presence of faithfulness. And hostility is puny compared to friendship. One of the things that God reminds us of throughout Scripture, and even including this story, is that His way is always the best way, even if it's not the easiest way. There are going to be things that we'll have to deal with because we're following God and because God is with us. And they won't necessarily be pleasant, and they won't be nice, but it's still the right way. And because it's the right way, it's the best way. Amen? Let me just leave you with these thoughts to kind of bring it all to a conclusion here today. Just thoughts to think on. Make friends with people who will help you become a better person, not a bitter person. Make friends with people who are going to help you become better and not bitter. Secondly, make friends with people who will inspire you to holiness and to healthiness and to godliness. Hang out with people who help you become more like the Lord, more like Jesus. Third, beware of those who tend to make you into a person you don't want to really become. It can get in there quicker than you can imagine. Beware of that. If you have to, you even sometimes have to avoid so that you don't become. The fourth is a more proactive thing. Become a good friend to others, dependable, positive, one who helps others become a better person. Be a friend. Be a Jonathan. Be a David who helps others become better. And then the final thought is simply this. Let Jesus become your best friend.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I don't know if we ever got any of those, did we? Oh, okay. I apologize. I didn't know what was happening behind me or ahead of me. If you need those or want any of those, just see me. You know, life is about relationships, isn't it? There's good ones and there's ones that are rougher and tougher. Let those good ones nourish you like Jonathan's nourished David. Let the not so good ones not make you into the kind of person that you wouldn't want to live with. Because you'll find it hard to live with yourself after a while. That was Saul's issue, wasn't it? He reached the point where not only did he hate David, but he couldn't even live with himself anymore. He was so far from God. Let God help us. Let God help us in our relationships to become and to be the people that God wants us to be. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word that brings us these stories, these real life situations that remind us of how, Lord, you can help us in our own. And Lord, not of all of the relationship issues that are in this room even today are just the way they need to be or should be. But Lord, we ask that you would help us as persons, as individuals, to be the way we should be in those relationships. We thank you for a man like David who didn't allow himself to become like Saul, but instead his relationship with Jonathan was a key to helping him stay level and holy. Help us, Lord, in our own relationship with you and with those around us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.